Good morning, and afternoon, depending on where you are. It's Marcia Cook, and it's A Good Story is a Good Story, and we have a very special guest on, Sandra Kahn, and we'll talk about she's a psychotherapist and a best-selling author, but I will say hello to Denise. Denise is
Hi,
with
Marcia.
Us. Hi, Denise, and this is different for Denise because she usually does just the night show, so we're glad to have you. And
thank you.
I just, you know, and before we go on, I think I should say that there has been some trouble with Blog Talk, and if for some reason that the show goes off, that we will post it and we will do another show. But it's never happened, thank goodness to me, knock wood, but it has happened. So just in case. And I will also tell you a few little things that we need to talk about for a second. The World of Ink Network, we have three different kinds of shows on, and then we did Virginia and I. We have the first show is Virginia's show, which is for her children. It's stories for children, and that's with Virginia and Chris. Okay, and that's Virginia's show. Then we have A Good Story is a Good Story is mine. Virginia's show is usually children's stories and about that, and it's a great show, and I've been on that too. And my show is A Good Story is a Good Story, and that's, today the reason I'm explaining this, because usually we have writing and screenwriting and everything else is what we usually do, but today we have a different subject on, and which is, we have a best-selling author, which is great. And then I can do many other shows, and that's what I will be doing in the future. And then we have the Writing Mama, which is on every Friday. That is with Virginia and myself and J.D. Holliday. And that show is an entertainment show, including writing, screenwriting, marketing, PR, everything. So just so everybody understands. And then we are introducing Simon Rose, who now is with us in our show in the World of Ink Network. And he brings history as an inspiration in writing. He's very interesting. He'll be on once a month, and he's going to really have a great show. So now you kind of understand who we are, and if you have any ideas or you want to be on the show, just, you know, you can call us or go to our websites. You can go to my website, which is www.michiganavenuemedia.com, and just let me know, and then we can probably work a show around you if we think the subject is interesting. And as we know, that I do a lot of different subjects, so, it, you know, that will be interesting who comes, you know, to tell us what they want to do. Okay, and the call-in number is 714-242-5259. And let me just tell you a little bit about Sandra Kahn. She's a best-selling author. She's been on Oprah. She's been on Good Morning America. She has a lot to offer, and she's going to talk today about her book, Leaving Him Behind. And she's also having a seminar in Chicago in it's in Northfield, and that is on June 7th, and she will talk about that too, and she has a lot to talk about, and if you have questions, please feel free to call in. And Sandra, how are you?
I'm good, Marcia, and particularly, I think it's a very timely topic that we talk about, leaving him behind, particularly with the Maria Shriver, Arnold Schwarzenegger
issue. That would be talk? All right. It's all for you now. Go ahead, talk.
I really feel with Maria Shriver, her being a Kennedy, that we all feel that the Kennedys are part of our family in a way. I mean, we watched the president get assassinated. We watched Jackie recover. We watched the children grow up. And so I think the Kennedys for us has a special attachment. And, of course, Maria, who is just such an extraordinary, extraordinary, strong, wonderful woman, and for this betrayal to happen to her, it's the kind of betrayal that happens to many, many women who are in long-term marriages. The betrayal might not necessarily be that he had a child with his housekeeper, but it certainly can be that he promised to love her and take care of her, and he ends up being extraordinarily abusive and pompous and hurtful, diminishing her, and finally she reaches the point where it's either divorce him or check myself into a mental ward because she cannot take the pain. And, of course, a part of it is that she catches him cheating on her. And I really have to say that I think Viagra, believe it or not, this sounds like a giant leap, but I think Viagra has ended a lot of long-term marriages because men are able to perform with younger women. And I see a rise in the divorce rate, men leaving women, because they have this newfound virility and can go out there and date younger women and have sex. So this kind of awful betrayal, whether the woman wants the divorce because she can't take it anymore, or her husband betrays her in this awful, terrible way, leaves her in a great deal of pain. It is a lost promise, a life's plan that you plan to grow old with this man, to enjoy your children, your grandchildren, and all this implodes, one's life implodes. I mean, Maria's life, Shriver's life, has imploded. One day
and she's
she
a strong
fine,
woman. And she's a strong woman.
Very strong woman. Mm-hmm. And we have Sandra Bullock, who has recently been in the news. And
yeah,
we have
very
Tiger,
strong women, which is interesting because they're very strong.
Right, and we have Tiger Woods' wife, who is also been in the news. Betrayals. And these are strong women, and they don't have to worry about money, because when women get divorced or are divorced by their husbands, they worry a lot about the reality of money. They still have children to raise and a life to live, and a lot of these women have never worked because, and I'm talking the ones who are in longer-term marriages,
right,
25, 30 years, not the young ones, let's say, who are married 5 years or whatever, yeah. Because now I think 90%, I read, of the female population is out there working. But not so for women who came from a generation where you stay home with your kids. Your husband didn't want you to work. He wanted you to raise the kids. And after this happens, the divorce, the betrayal, of course she has to worry about how she's going to support herself, how she's going to live. And if there are children, how she's going to, she's now going to become a single mother and money. So people say, a patient just said to me recently about Maria Shriver, she goes, who is going through her divorce? She has four kids, and her husband 2 years ago walked in and said, I want a divorce. Married 20 years, and she was just bereft. She couldn't believe it. She was in an altered state. She felt that there is no life anymore for her, that her life was destroyed. And we were talking about Maria Shriver and her situation, and she said, yeah, but she has a lot of money, which is true. But I need for your listeners to know that, yeah, it solves a problem if there is a great deal of money. I'm not going to deny that.
Right, right.
However, the emotional pain is gut-wrenching that these women go through. I happen to know about Maria Shriver because I happen to know somebody who is close with her who told me that she is in extraordinarily a painful situation.
Wouldn't you say a lot of it is definitely because the news media has it all over the place, and this is not something that you would expect coming from her family, because she has always been the center, but you always never thought of this for them. You know, they have opposing, you know, political views, and that was always a joke that they both did,
right.
with each other. But she is someone that never thought this was going to happen, probably.
No, and all these women that I see in my office, so many of them never, ever thought this would happen. And there's no difference between Maria Shriver or my patients who this happens to. The level of pain is, as I said, and getting a divorce, just even getting, Maria's just starting out here. getting a divorce is, in my opinion, like crossing the Oregon Trail. Remember in high school we read about crossing the Oregon Trail, the people from the East looking for gold, a better life, and they had to cross this Oregon Trail, which they knew nothing about. They didn't know about the weather. They only knew about the weather on the East Coast. They didn't know about hurricanes. They didn't know about tornadoes. They didn't know about huge snowstorms. And they also, what they did know about were Indians, because that was a time when the Indians were, well, actually, we were stealing their land, and they were angry, and, of course, attacking these caravans of stagecoaches that crossed the country. But people signed up with the hope of having a better life. And they were willing to go through all this torturous journey that some never, ever made it across, based on weather and Indians and illnesses. But mothers got on that stagecoach with their children for the dream and hope of the good life, because where they were living, they were suffering. And that's an analogy I use with people I see and when I speak on this topic about going through divorce, that it is like crossing the Oregon Trail.
Alone.
Divorce is
but
so
alone sometimes.
Rough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have a real problem, and I write about it in my book. I have a real problem with attorneys and how they stir things up and how they drag cases out and how fearful women are of the court system, that they don't quite understand that the court system is, we pay the judge's salaries, we pay for the court system. And if there is a court date and you can't make it because you have the flu, you can cancel your court date. And the judge will say, okay, I'll look at my docket and we will reschedule this date that has to be good for both parties. The husband and the wife. The date has to be right. But what lawyers make women feel like is, one, they say, through divorce, let's not upset him. Let's not, we don't want to agitate him. So just lay low and behave. Whereas the male attorneys are coaching their male clients. The first thing they tell him is cut off her charges. And the guy says, well, you know, she's not a mean person. I don't want to cut off her charges, because you'll see she'll start charging up the yin. And they agitate things. They agitate. They scare the woman, and they agitate the man to become angry and vindictive, because that's all the lawyers care about, Marcia.
So even if they go, if they decide they're getting a divorce and they could, they want to have it a friendly, amicable divorce, it doesn't always turn out that way because of what happens once they get to the court system.
Right. The court system, but I am going to say, number one, the divorce lawyers, because of all the different kind of attorneys that there are, criminal, tax attorney, blah, blah, blah. There is no one, in my estimation, as vicious and competitive as divorce attorneys. And, you know, Marcia, my own sister is a federal judge here in Illinois.
I was going to say, because you are familiar with this, because it's your family.
Yeah, my own sister, I think she's the chief federal judge for taxes in the state of Illinois. And so I know personally a lot of the judges and the lawyers, because my brother-in-law is a lawyer, and, of course, my sister was an attorney before she became a judge. I know how the system works, and part of dealing with this problem with women, the leaving him behind and getting them first through the divorce, is to take the fear out of the court system and to understand that they are paying their attorneys. Their attorneys work for them. They do not work for their attorneys. They pay a lot of money for that attorney. And I have to inform people out there, there is no difference between a male divorce lawyer and a female divorce lawyer.
I'd like to think
that women divorce attorneys are much softer, much gentler to their clients. An attorney is an attorney. They teach them in law school how to win, how to intimidate, how to interrogate, and male or female, they learn in law school how to do it. So we have the woman going through this awful, terrible divorce, and finally the divorce is final after the attorneys have drained her dry, after her husband, who's still her husband, won't move out of the house and tortures her. I had a patient that this was, while they were going through divorce, this was a very wealthy couple, and she happened to have a Porsche and kept it in the garage. And in anger, this was when they were still married but going through divorce, he poured gasoline all over the interior of the Porsche and burned it. So you had the body of the Porsche was fine, but burnt out all the beautiful leather and
it's like the War of the Roses, that movie. Did you see that movie with Michael Douglas? And did you remember that movie? Yeah, where they actually really didn't hate each other, but they actually got out of hand.
Well,
then it went wild.
Well, what happens, Marcia, is that you can't help but hating somebody who's trying to destroy you. And this is what, you know, when I'm talking about the lawyers and all that. But there are facts. When we talk about the recovery process after divorce, the normal recovery process, people who don't need my book, and that's the emotional part. You mourn the loss of your attachment figure because that's who your husband is. We start out life with an attachment figure. All human beings need attachment figures. Our first attachment figure, of course, is our mother. And then we go into high school and we have to let go of our parents and grow up, and the attachment figure becomes the group, the group of friends. And there's all different groups. There's the jocks and you attach yourself to a group. You leave your parents for a group. And those lucky enough, men and women, boys and girls, find a girlfriend or a boyfriend in high school. And we know how intense adolescent love can be. I mean, just read Romeo and Juliet.
Right.
It is so intense. And then,
well, I'm sure now it's even more intense than it ever was before. But, you know, there are a lot of people meeting each other as, you know, we speak. We're online, you know, and they don't really know each other like they think they know each other.
Well, that's a whole new phenomenon.
That's a whole new phenomenon. Right. And that's another thing we should talk about another time is the new phenomenons, because those are getting very, you know, those are getting underplayed and they need to get out there.
Well, what's happened when something's new, Marcia, people don't know how to finesse it.
Right.
You know, it hasn't happened in the past, so they can't look, this is how my parents did it.
Right.
You know, this is all new stuff, and so is the Leaving Him Behind, which in hardcover, by the way, was a Random House book, The Ex-Wife Syndrome, and they put it out in paperback, Leaving Him Behind, Cutting the Cord and Breaking Free After the Marriage Was Over, because they felt it would be more understandable to the reader. But so in that mourning process, we have to lose the loss of the attachment figure, because the final attachment figure becomes our husband. This is the person we are physically intimate with, that we share secrets with, and that we trust. You know, the whole world can crap on our heads, but we can go home to our spouse and fall in his arms, so to speak. And he will say, as long as we have each other, we will, you know, survive. And, of course, that is important for us, particularly for women who need protection, who need a man to protect them from the bad guys out there. and to protect them financially somewhat and to protect them from the pain and listen to what happened at work and to be able to soothe us. And in turn, we do more on the nurturing level for the man. But what Maria's going through and these women who are suffering as much as Maria, who have felt this awful feeling of your attachment figure, who you trusted more than anyone in the world, betraying you. The ultimate betrayal. It's like,
I was just thinking when you were talking about this, I just wanted to ask. It just dawned on me. Okay, now you're talking about Maria, but okay, now the long-standing relationship between Arnold and Schwarzenegger and his, you know, as the, I think she was the housekeeper?
Yeah, I think she was
now,
the sex object.
How what would maybe go in her mind? I mean, this is long-term for her because she has a child. So this is not just 1, 2, 3, you know, an affair. So how would that woman adjust to their life now? I mean, now
have to say that I do not have respect for women who are with a married man.
Right.
I have seen in my office, I've been in practice for 35 years, and I've seen women who have had affairs or are in an affair with a married man and can't get out of it because of how they're attached to them. And it's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah.
It's a lose-lose. I have never seen the woman, I imagine it happens, but I personally have never seen the woman he has the affair with end up as his wife, ever. So when you engage in a relationship with a married man, you are, you know, swimming with the shark, so to speak. You are in danger. And so this woman, I don't have anything to say to, except you screwed up someone's life. You, by cooperating with this disgusting man, you broke up a family of 4 children, and one of the sons, one of Arnold Maria's sons, changed his name to Shriver. He doesn't even want the Schwarzenegger name anymore. Because he's so disgusted with what his father did.
It's a shame to be out there. You know, nobody would want that. You know, but, you know, so this would be something where you would think about for a young woman. She doesn't know who she goes out with somebody, she meets somebody, she doesn't know he's married, okay? And that, what happens to that woman? How does she, I mean, what are the signs that she should look for that this guy is married, that she wouldn't get involved with a married man because she might not know?
Well, what I can say, if she doesn't know, she doesn't know.
But then when she finds out,
but ultimately, I would hope she finds out. And ultimately, she gets hurt. Because let me tell you, when you're with a married man and you have plans to go away for the weekend because he's told his wife some lie that he has to go away on business and you're all excited, the other woman, that you're going to Las Vegas for the weekend, and then he calls you up the night before and says, I can't go, my kid's having his tonsils out. I mean, you see, his family and his wife always come before the other woman. So I don't even want to talk about the other woman because
I was just saying because it does happen sometimes that people, you know, they really, and they're young women that don't really know.
Yeah, but this woman, this particular woman is not young. She lived in the house. She knew they were married. I mean, how could you not live in the house?
Right.
And she engaged in sex with this woman's husband, who she bought, Maria was fond of her. She bought her gifts. Uh-huh. And, you know, when you have a housekeeper for 20 years, they become like part of the family. Uh-huh. So it's like a double betrayal.
A double win.
But what I have to say about the other woman and what I will always say is this. Dummy, you are so dumb, you are going to get hurt. and I have no pity for you when you
the
do get
the whole situation is, yeah, the whole situation, nobody's winning. I mean, nobody's winning right now.
Right.
The kids, you know, it's sad for the kids because they're involved in this.
But when we talk about going back to the mourning process in a healthy divorce for a woman, I mean healthy, I mean she has to recover.
Yeah.
And the healing takes place on three different levels. One, which I was talking about, is that she mourns the loss of this attachment figure. She misses the connectedness. She was connected to this man for 15, 20, 25, 35 years, and there's feelings of sadness, loneliness, uncertainty about her future, and those are all natural and normal feelings. Then she has to heal on a practical level. She has to deal with the logistics of being a single woman, of being a single mom. She has to deal with the logistic of losing friends because that's part of the attrition rate in a divorce. Some friends go with him and some friends go with her. She has to now deal with dating. She has to now deal with sexuality. She has to deal with work. Then the third level that she has to heal on is the intellectual level. She has to think through the events that led up to the divorce. She has to review her marriage and take a look, really take a look and say, you know, I never liked the way he treated me, you know, or look back, because women tend to idealize their marriage. They really, really do, and they tend to idealize their husband. Yeah, I know my husband's a jerk, but I love him.
I've heard that from some people.
Yeah. You don't want to look at the bad things about your husband because then you'd have to divorce him. So we tend to overlook the negative things.
Do you ever meet the ex-husbands by chance? I mean, do they ever, you know, is that part of anything that might, you know, with a woman, you know, do you ever meet with the woman and her ex or if she's going to? Never. Okay.
Never. Because the ex needs to be an ex, and that's what my book is about. When it's over, it has got to be over, but you have to go through the normal recovery process, those three steps, the emotional, the practical, and the intellectual, and then you heal. This is how you heal, and then you move. These are important words. You can move forward with your new life, and you can have a life, and it probably will be a life better than the one you had with your ex-husband, because if he divorced you, if he betrayed you and cheated on you or whatever, and most men, by the way, who file for divorce are cheating on their wives. I don't care what story they tell their wife. I'm not happy. You know, you don't fill my needs. And I haven't been happy for a long time. And you've gained weight and blah, blah, blah. What I say is bull, because my colleagues and I have discussed this, Marcia.
Yeah.
And we have never seen a man who leaves his marriage if there's not another woman. Because men can be comfortable in an unhappy marriage. You know, their laundry's done. There's food in the fridge.
Yeah.
The kids are there. They can live in an unhappy marriage because that's all they do. They stay away a lot. You know, they work late. They go with their friends. Women can't stand an unhappy marriage. She feels lonely. She feels miserable. He makes her miserable. So, when you go through the normal recovery, which takes generally, I would say, on the average, believe it or not, after the divorce, when you celebrate and think it's finally over after you've been through the ringer with your attorney, his attorney, with him, finally the judge says, okay, you're divorced, and you go out to dinner with your friends maybe and you celebrate, and you think, okay, no, it's not over. And even in the healthy recovery, it's going to take a year, 2 years, to come up with an official story, to develop a final interpretation of what went wrong, and then to be able to heal and move forward. But frequently, normal recovery goes awry. And the healing process that you're supposed to be going through continually gets interrupted by the ex-husband. So she gets stalled in the recovery process. Some women get stalled for 5, 10, 22 years in the recovery process because they are attached to their ex-husband. They don't believe they're attached. They say, well, he keeps annoying me, and he keeps calling, and he keeps harassing me, and they don't know how to stop it. And in my book, I talk about the different ways women are still connected to their ex-husband. One of the ways is by love, and I put that in quotes because it's not healthy love. Okay? How can you love a man who has broken up your family, destroyed you, et cetera, et cetera? So it's a sick kind of love. Then there's loneliness, women who are lonely, so they'll get in conversations with their ex-husband. Then there's women who have sympathy for their ex. You know, they divorced him because he was a couch potato, and he did nothing. You know, he just didn't offer her anything. It was like she lived alone. But she feels sorry for him because he's such a loser that he lives in a little apartment and he doesn't have friends. So she keeps inviting him to family events, and then he sits there miserable, makes her miserable. And then we have the self-pity, women who feel sorry for themselves and can't get over it. Why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? And keep connecting with their ex-husband over these issues. And then we have guilt. Guilt is a biggie. Oh, my gosh, I divorced him. I broke up the family. He really didn't want a divorce, but I couldn't take it anymore. I had to leave or, as I said, commit myself. And so the ex-husband will make her feel guilty. Remember, you wanted this divorce. It's you. So she will stay connected with him, trying to become unguilty. There's no word, but I'm saying. Then there is the general needing an attachment figure. And many of these women have sex with their ex. Many of these women are tortured by their ex, controlled by their ex-husband. And here's something that I know about men. That when men marry, they kind of feel a sense of ownership about their wives. You know, this is my wife. And they kind of feel an ownership over a patriarchal kind of thing. You know, I own my family. Here's my family and my house and my wife. And my wife listens to me and adores me or whatever. This is a male thing. They feel a kind of ownership over their family and their wives are included.
Well, some of the newer brides now, they don't let this happen anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, because they've seen it in their houses and, you know, and they want to be strong. And they are strong. You know, there are a lot of women that are strong.
Yes, younger women have become stronger. And one of the things, just as an aside, since you mentioned younger women, when my daughter was in college and the book was published and she showed the book to her girlfriends in the dorm and many of them read it and were never divorced and never were married. And they felt that the book absolutely empowered them. That they did not fall into these traps when, in fact, they did get married. But women are still women, and women, you know, we want families, and to have a family, you have to have a husband, and you hope you have a happy marriage, and the wish goes on. But when that dream, that wish is destroyed, it is a crushing blow to a woman. And
that's the woman you see that comes in your office.
Right. Or who buys the book.
Yeah.
Because one of the great satisfactions of writing this book is that I have gotten, and the book was sold, Marcia, in I think 18 different languages, including Japanese.
Right, yeah.
So this phenomena of women being betrayed and of having not being able to get rid of their ex-husband who keeps antagonizing them or interfering with their life in one way or another is a universal phenomena.
Now, what about after they get divorced and then all of a sudden, let's say the husband has been cheating on them, has a girlfriend, has a life for a few years, and then they want to come back. What happens then? Does the wife, does she have to put up a shield and get herself stronger to say no? Because that does happen, you know, that men want to come back.
Yeah, well, I don't know how often that happens because one of the things in what I call the ex-wife syndrome is that men who, there's two things that will make a man not go away. You know, he can remarry, he can have kids in a second marriage, but he will continue to antagonize and to annoy and to hurt his ex-wife. So she's trying to move on with her life, and this guy won't let her. I mean, she thinks, God, I went through divorce. I paid all this money to be free, and I can't get free of this man. He calls me. He attacks me. He criticizes me about how I'm raising the children. He just is still ruining my life. He won't let go. And I'm thinking now of one of the most interesting letters I got since writing the book was from a man who was in a second marriage with a woman. And he said, I bought your book for my wife because she has not been able to get rid of her ex-husband, who calls all the time. She gets off the phone crying, and she won't let me interfere. You know, he wants to go to bat for her, and he wants to say, don't call my wife. She's my wife now. Don't call her anymore. But she won't let him get involved. And he said that after reading the book, she learned the tools, because in the book I give the tools of how to. It's not just I'm talking about an issue. I give hard, cold facts. This is what you do. You change the locks on your house after you're divorced. You would not go in his house. He's not giving you a key to his house.
Yeah.
Why are you letting him come in your house? And
so
is this what you treat now
at your seminar, is this what you're going to talk about?
Yes. I'm going to talk about the tools of how the relationship between an ex-husband and an ex-wife should be conducted. And again, what we were talking about earlier, you know, about internet dating and all that, there's been nothing like it before. So people can't look and say, well, I learned from my mom and dad. This is how you do it. This is what to watch out for. Well, there's been no predecessor for the woman who now has an ex-husband. Probably her parents were not divorced, and she did not know very many divorced people. So she doesn't even know, how do you deal with an ex-husband? What's the rules? Should I let him come in the house and play with the children? Should I let him call me as much as he wants? What? I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
And
I felt
compelled after years and years of seeing women in this situation who were unable to move forward with their lives because they were still secretly connected to their ex-husbands.
Now, on your seminar, does this pertain to you know, that when, let's say people that are not married and they have a long relationship for eight, 9 years. So this would they would you would consider them in the same situation when one
Absolutely.
Says goodbye.
And,
so that would
and,
be somebody that could come also to the seminar. Yeah.
Interestingly enough, one of the letters that I got was from a gay man who said, I read your book. And I, you know, could not get move on with my life because of my ex. I don't know if he was still in love with his ex or he felt sorry for his ex, but
well, love is love, you know.
Yeah. And so you said it exactly right, Marcia. Love is love. And it doesn't matter if it's between same-sex couples. It doesn't matter if it's between couples who have been living together and been in a love relationship. So, yes, the seminar is, in fact, always when I give them.
And you made it, you know, you did do something that most people don't do. You made it very reasonable. And that is so important now. I mean, that's one of the reasons that people can get your advice and your help. And it's your cost is, I mean, you're charging $50, which is so unbelievable. That's really nice of you to do that because, as you know, even talking to somebody of your, you know, caliber, they can't afford it a lot of times.
Right.
So this would be a good thing to know that, you know, that they can come and meet other people in the same situation. And sometimes that helps a lot, talking to somebody else. It's right in the same situation.
Yes, to see other people who are struggling with the same kinds of issues. And I deliberately made it a very low price. And it's a two-hour seminar. Because I understand that single women, and I understand, are struggling. And I understand the economy today. And I just really want to reach out to these women who are hurting and cannot move forward with their lives and are suffering from depression, anxiety. A lot of them have sleep and eating disturbances. A lot of them have difficulty in forming relationships again. Many of them have a real fear and resistance to intimacy in another relationship.
There's so
and
many different problems,
There's a lot. And then we have people who honestly have suicidal thoughts. I'm not saying
that's
they're going to do it, but you know, I don't want to live anymore. Life is so hard. But that ongoing connectedness to the ex, so much of it, the sufferer unknowingly, and there's the key word, unknowingly, the woman does not even know that this connectedness is going on, but she fiercely nurtures it and protects it regardless of her ex-husband's indifference or downright hostility. She will still not let go. And one of the big connections that I didn't mention, I don't think, is anger. Anger. You know, I'm going to get revenge. I'm going to get him. Well, anger is a real crummy feeling to be feeling. You know,
you
wake up feeling good, not angry.
So
what women don't realize is that this problem creates a whole list of symptoms, some of which I just said, that really the origin of it comes from this hidden connection with their ex.
You know, well, you know, I mean, this has really been an interesting topic, you know, and I know that you did not, you know, you cannot stay on that long. And do you want, I will give your website, which is www.sandrascon.com, and you just wanted to talk a few minutes because you didn't talk about your new book. Maybe we should just talk about that for a few minutes, just for a few seconds, so they know.
Yes, thank you, Marcia, which I'm in the process of completing, actually, and it will be published probably by next year. And it really is a logical extension of the leaving him behind or the ex-wife syndrome. And it's called Head of Household, Single Mothering for the 21st Century. And I have found that you know, the statistics unfortunately say that a huge percentage of children who have single mothers ultimately end up with drugs, crime, dropping out of school. And I hate to say it, but those statistics happen to be true. And I know that single mothers are mothering their children the same way as they would if there was a father in the house. You know, the when there's a father in the house, the mother takes a role and the father takes a role. The father's the disciplinarian, the father is the one they respect, and the mother is the softer, the nurturer. But for the 21st century, when you are a single mom, it's a whole, it's not the way your mother mothered you at all. It's a whole different way of mothering your children so that they grow up to be children that you are proud of and who are wonderful citizens to add to our community. And so this is, as a ex-wife's term, I guess I write kind of revolutionary books that have never been written.
Yeah, these are what, right, these are what, these are what's happening now. I mean, this is what's happening now.
Right.
But when you're saying single mother now, you're saying single mother, it can be married or not married. I mean, you know, this is a new,
however,
this is life
one,
now. Yeah.
Right, however one becomes a single mother. Some women opt to be a single mother.
Yeah.
You know, they go to
and men too now,
bank.
Men too, actually. They are adopting now too, men, because,
right,
you know, they feel that they want a child. And sometimes you can't find the right person to have the child with. So I think that this is a whole new thing. So that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
That should be out. And so we would like to have you on the show again for that. And again, your website and your book, Leaving Him Behind, and they can go on Amazon.com. And the book is there, along with your other books. And it's been a pleasure having you. And thank you. And I'm sure a lot of women out there will be very thankful to hear that they're not alone.
Okay. Thanks, Marcia.
And hopefully the seminar will do good. All right.
Okay.
Take care.
Great. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye. Denise?
Yep.
Hello.
I'm here.
Oh, hi. Okay. We should talk about just one last thing, tomorrow's show, and that was very interesting because there's a lot of women out there that shouldn't feel alone, and they can reach her on her website, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was a different show for us, and it's always good to have new shows and different shows about different subjects because there are a lot of subjects that other shows don't talk about, so we're here for that. And I just wanted to say tomorrow we will be I'll be with Virginia on our show, and Karen LaFranc will be on, and she is going to talk about her book, A Quest for Good Manners for Children, and this should be very interesting and fun, and usually those shows are kind of, Virginia and I just, we don't go for questions, we just kind of go for it, and we usually have a good time on Fridays, it's weekend, and it's 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 Central, 6 Eastern. I'm getting better at that now, all these times. All right,
you
and Denise, thank you so much, and this has been an interesting show, and so we'll be bringing other shows like this, and as I said before, anybody that has a topic or a book that they'd like to discuss, please email me at www.michiganavenuemedia.com, and Denise, do you want to just say your email, your address they can reach you for editing?
Oh, yeah, they can reach me at writingtoinspire@yahoo.com. That would be fine.
Okay, all right, and have a great day, everybody out there, and thank you all for listening. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.